Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I really hope this is Brenda Sanders. Welcome to Staying Clearly in Dark Times. I'm looking at my studio wall, and I'm seeing that the opening music is playing, but I don't hear it. And I certainly hope that I'm making a mistake. If I am, then you're going to hear me while this music is playing. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm glad that you could join me again. Today, this Sunday afternoon, just a really, really bad storm just ended here, and so I'm glad that I could come on the broadcast and talk with you this Sunday afternoon. This is a motivational outreach program, and I say every week, and I certainly represent to you whoever you are. Doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. I represent to you that God is able to move you past any dark moment that you may have in your life, any moments of depression or discouragement. God is able to bless you. God is able to meet your needs. And what I want to say is that I'm saying it in the main part of my message today because I've been so encouraged this week. It doesn't matter whether you've been laid off from your job, you've been fired from your job, you're ill, something else has gone wrong in your life, very wrong, or something has just gone wrong, or maybe you're just having a bad day. But I guess my message to you today would be the same, as it always is here on this broadcast, Seeing Clearly in Dark Times, is that God has something for you. He really does. He has something very grand for you in your darkest moment. The other morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting and I'm looking at my wall in my bedroom, and God is speaking to me. And it was a dark moment for me, really. I mean, some things were going on, and I really want to really believe and believe God for something else that I was looking for God to speak to me about, and a much smaller type of thing, you know. And God spoke the most amazing thing to me. And I'm like, okay, I did not say a negative word. I did not shun the word of God as it was given to me. I received it. I said, God, I immediately received what you had said, because what he said was so so large and huge that I said, I immediately received that in Jesus' name. But I'm looking, I kept wanting to, let me tell you, kind of turning to say, well, what about these things here that I've placed before you? I don't see anything there. And somehow, just, you know how you can have a friendship, maybe a marriage, a relationship with someone so long that you learn that person's ways. You learn this or that. You learn to know when they might be this way or that way. Well, that's how I felt the other night when I was talking to Jesus. He was talking to me. I wasn't talking to him. I'm telling you, I had gotten up to do something else, and I was not really in that mode of thinking, but God was speaking to me. Yes, he was. And as he spoke this very, very thing to me, I'm looking at what I do need help with, but I knew not to shun the word of the Lord as he was giving it to me right then. And even as, I want to say, there was no telephone. What am I saying? There was no telephone, but I want to say, even as God hung up, even as Jesus hung up the phone. There was no phone, but maybe there was a kind of phone in the spirit. I was looking at what I had to deal with the following day. You know, what he told me was a future kind of event. I'm grateful for it. A future type of event. And I was grateful for it. I said, thank you, Jesus. And I receive it, Lord. And then I said, well, but I got to face tomorrow. And I did. And somehow I knew that what I had to deal with the next day, even so small, I mean, it's infinitesimal, I mean, just so small, a little hat pin top, you know, compared to what God is speaking to me about. It looms large, though, when it's just standing before you and you have no answers, no solution. But I knew it was going to be, I just knowing who Jesus is and knowing who God is, I've been in that relationship so long that I can sense, I sensed what was going to happen the next day, and it did. But he gave me something to encourage me and to feast my eyes on and to cling to, even in the hours of tribulation, even as it dealt with something smaller, something more trivial, something that did not loom as large as what he was talking about to me on early Friday morning. Amen. 3 o'clock in the morning, as it was. Let me give you the theme scripture for this program. And I don't know if the music has concluded. Yes, it is. I'm looking at the studio wall. It looks like the music has concluded. So I don't know what you're hearing. I do apologize. There was a really bad storm here. And if you're in a rural area, it's a little bit different in terms of it's not as developed out here as it may be in a metropolitan area. And so it may have affected my studio here. I don't know. But in any event, let me go to the theme scripture for the program. And that is 1 Corinthians 13:12. And I'm just going to read the King James Version today for the sake of time. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. I believe this is New King James Version. I'm sorry. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. You see, God is always, I always say this, God is always revealing himself to us. He really does. And like when he spoke to me early Friday morning, and I was so blessed, I considered it to be a birthday gift. April 29th is my, I always acknowledge it is the day, and it is true, the day I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I received it on a Friday, just as Friday was. And I always remember the day, April 29th. I always look at the number 9 as a number of fulfillment, a number of fulfillment. And there are a lot of things to reference when you look at the number 9. But then I always celebrate it to myself. If it's nothing to say, you remember this day, such and such a many years ago when you received the Holy Ghost. You remember what happened and who you're talking to and what you were doing? Yes, I will never forget it. And it's like, the day people ask you, do you remember what was going on when Martin Luther King was shot and so forth? I remember all of that as well. Those are just days that you remember. And so it was on my birthday, my celebration, anniversary of that day, Friday morning. And so I remember what God said. I remember when he said it now, because he said it on an important day. And I appreciate him imparting to me what his will for me is. And so often, when we don't know what God has for us, we don't see God face to face, we can't tell who he says we are. We can't. And I tell you, God's vision of us, his purpose for us, is so much bigger than what we have planned. I really know that. So much bigger. It's amazing. It's amazing. God's vision and what he has for us is so much bigger that what we could think of. And so that's why we have to come face to face with God, and so we can know who we are, so he can tell us who we are. I mean, we may be thinking one thing, I'm going to have you have a business. He may be thinking 10 businesses. So we have to come face to face with him if we are going to, in fact, pursue our destiny, our divine destiny, because he knows this. He knows everything about us, and it is he that will communicate our destiny to us. And thank God, because we think small. I think we think small because we're in this flesh. We look around, we think there's no way. But we have and serve a God, Jesus Christ is Lord, that knows all about it, knew about it before we were probably born, and birthed us, and came to where we are now on the earth now. So today I want to finish Acts chapter 17. I'm not doing this on my regular phone either, so a lot of things are out of sync today, doing this on my sister's phone. But let me tell you, this passage of scripture, and I'm going to finish it today if I don't do anything but just summarize the Acts chapter 17. Motivationally, you know, when you have an anointing, you always, to me, act in accord with that anointing. It's something you do. You know, sometimes when you look at passages of scripture, they say certain things to certain people. And I look for what it might suggest motivationally. And then, of course, all of the other, admonishments that may be there in the scripture that God says to us or may be speaking to us. But I'm looking at motivationally. How can this one, this passage of scripture help someone out there, a woman? And I just said, woman, there's a woman listening to me, and that's you. Well, it's going to help you, because why? If you keep moving in the things of God, in the things God told you to do, there may be discouragement, there may be those tests and trials. You move, you keep moving until you get to see what God is doing in your life clearly. I have entitled this broadcast, In Him I Move. Now, I did say, In Him I Move, because when we move, when we know what God is doing in our life, when it's clear, it's, placed on your table in front of you with a big bow on it, and God has called you to certain things, then you have to move. It is good to know. It really is. It is good to know what God is calling you to. That's half the battle, because if we can get that right, then the other part should be very simple, and that is moving in accord with God, with what God told us. And so in him I move. In him you move. And I drew part of this from Acts 17:28. I'll just jump down there for a moment before I summarize what I believe this chapter is saying to us. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Yeah, it's kind of poetic. In him I move, in him we live and move and have our being. I know about that. It's not, I love the word. I really do. I love the word. You know, I really love how it sounds sometimes, and it does sound poetic. And this is something poetic, but it speaks volumes to what God is saying to us. He says, in him we live and move and have our being. And so it is him that we look to suggest or either impress upon us what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be going. Amen. And that is why we have to come, like I said, close to God. Now, one thing I want to do is summarizing Acts 17, period. This is motivational.
when we are called to something, assigned to a task, assigned to a certain destiny,
divinely,
there will be problems. There will probably be detours. There will probably be mistakes. And, you know, when you're operating in that dark glass and that time of blurred vision, there may be mistakes. There may be impasses. There may be discouragements that come to cause one to doubt what God is saying. And then you get to the point where when God gets you right back on track, you are able to discern spiritually that what God told you in the beginning is actually what is true, even though you got distracted, even though you got, you know, Satan told you something else. Oh, my goodness, will he talk to you? He will tell you this is not true. And it is so important that we maintain communication with God so we can hear what's going on. You know, I've been a victim of that even this very week, where I have been hearing something. I said, well, that sounds like God. Maybe it's not. Maybe it is. But sometimes when you're at that place, where you're at that place of fulfillment, there can be the most difficult time. I remember, and I told you about me receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost on April 29th in 1988. And I, you know, hey, I can't figure out how many years that fast. I'd have to think about it. That's why I'm in law, where I didn't do much math. But let me tell you something. Right before I received the infilling of that Holy Ghost that day, when I did nothing really to cause it to happen except sit on my bed when I came home from my work and sat on my bed and opened my mouth and said, I'm going to just praise God. And when I did, the Spirit spoke through me. And I think I told you about this a couple of months ago. And it didn't stop. It did not stop. I just kept on going, and I kept on speaking and speaking in tongues and speaking and speaking. And I was amazed because I did nothing to deserve it, but it was God's will that it happened that day. It was God's will that it come to pass in a way and in a fashion which no one could take credit for him or it but him. But one thing sometimes we give up. Now, that's something I prayed for 6 months straight with no result. No result. 6 months. 6 months three times a day for 6 months until it finally happened. And that particular day when I sat on the bed and I did that, I was saying, well, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep doing what God told me to do and praising God. And it happened in a time when I would say I was neutral. I wasn't really expecting it, but really I was expecting it, but not expecting it. And so Satan will come along and try to discourage you when God has promised you something. He will try to block your path. I am praying to be filled with the God Spirit, the phone may ring, or somebody may call me. At that time, a very long time ago, I was staying with my aunt, and she would call me. What are you doing up there? Come here, I need you, or something. So what happens is when there's a promise from God, and you know it's from God, and you know you've been promised that thing, you have to continue to move in him. And that's why it says, in him we live, move, and have our being. And continue in the things that God has given you. That sounds so simple, but guess what? It is that simple. It is that simple. And after reflecting upon that all these years, I can come to that same simple conclusion. Communication is always needed with God. Don't stop communicating. Because if there is no communication, let me tell you, Satan will get in there and tell you it's not true. Satan will come and tell you give up. Satan will come and tell you you're on the wrong pathway. You know, you have to understand that there are obstacles that get in the way when God has promised you something. And even situationally, before I received that infilling that day, I had gone through so much that week. That week was one of the toughest weeks in my whole life. And sometimes it comes to cause you to say, God is not real. God is not going to do these things. And I remember that week to the point it brings me to tears right now. It was so tough. And then, yet, God was moving. He was moving to fulfill what he said he was going to do. And so that is a testimony both for me and for you as you are in your tough time, in your time to keep moving toward God's told you what he said he was going to do for you, and that promise will be fulfilled. Now, it may be in an atmosphere of chaos. It may be in an atmosphere of severe persecution. And, you know, I'm going to be writing it in my book. I am writing it in my book, but, I mean, what happened after I received the Holy Ghost? Oh, my goodness, you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it. But it was severe afterward as well, but it seemed like I knew more than I did before I received it. So what I'm saying that Acts 17 represents, let me summarize it now. Because we have Paul and Silas here going into Macedonia, going into Philippi, going to minister the word and preach Jesus, and then, of course, ministering with the spiritual gifts and casting out demons, discernment, and getting into trouble with Satan and being persecuted, thrown into jail, blah, 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 extreme thing. And then we move. I'm sorry, that's chapter 16. And then we move into Thessalonica, where there's more trouble, and where they go into the synagogue, preach to the Jews, and, you know, they're developing a following, and they're getting more prominent women and men to follow them. And they're making some inroads with the Greeks, who are very devout, and they become very devout. And so we see there again that they try to persecute, not Paul and Silas per se, but someone that was with them, the house of Jason, and punish them because they accused them of making an uproar and disturbing the city. And then Paul and Silas, I'm looking at Acts chapter 7, verse 10. Paul and Silas were sent away by night. You see, they had learned something here. And that's what I'm trying to communicate to you when I talk to you on this broadcast, is that you learn when you start walking. We learn wisdom. We learn to get around some of the things that Satan is going to throw at us, wisdom. Paul and Silas at this point were moving by night. So they didn't try to go into these places during the daytime where everyone could see them and possibly start these uproars. And so it says in verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And you see why that's important? When you move past those really obstinate, angry, stubborn, pride-filled people who don't want to receive you, he said, shake the dust off your feet. It's in the scripture. Shake the dust off, because there's somebody that's going to receive you. They're going to want to hear. They're going to desire the word. They're going to want to hear what you have to say. And that's what happened here, because when they got to Thessalonica, these were more fair-minded than those in, I'm sorry, when they got to Berea, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And they received the word, it says, with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They search the scriptures, you see.
That's in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And therefore, in verse 12, it says, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. It's hard to get the prominent to be humble and believe God. They're, to me, the most stringent, the most unbelieving. Why? Because all their needs are met. They really have no need to see God. But there's a deceitfulness of riches that will cause one to bow when you have a problem, you see. I was just looking on the internet where a couple, murder-suicide, husband and wife. I was like, what would make them kill each other like that? The man killed the woman, and then he killed himself. It's deceitfulness. A prominent couple, I believe in St. Petersburg, Florida, what would make them do that? The deceitfulness of riches, you see. And so a problem can overtake your little thumbnail problem. I read through the article. It turns out he had some kind of ailment and she had hip problems. Is that enough? Is that all it takes to cause you to kill yourself and commit suicide? And so, in a way, God evens it out because you may have the riches. You may have the prominence. But let a problem hit you and you don't know God. You don't know who God is. You will do something like that. You will turn and kill yourself and kill your wife because you don't know God. But it says here in Acts 17, verse 12, it says, therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, but here it is, prominent women as well as men. And in verse 13, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Sometimes when you're doing a work, it's going to be people that just insist on getting in the way of what you're doing and becoming an obstacle. But you are not to cease what God has called you to do. And this particular passage of scripture relates to preaching the gospel, and it can apply to anything. Whatever your divine purpose God has called you to operate in, he says, in him you live, move, and have your being. In him I move. And keep moving. Keep moving. Because after a while, you're going to walk out of that very dark place and walk into a place you received where people's hearts are soft to receive the gospel, where people's hearts are receiving, are prepared to receive you and celebrate you rather than reject you and punish you and persecute you. And so as they moved, I'm moving now to Acts 17, verse 16. It says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. You see, God will provoke that longing in you to deal with something. And he was, Jesus was concerned with the cities, and so was Paul. And so he went into the synagogues again to speak to the Jews about idol worship and who they were actually praying to. They said the unknown God in verse 23. He said, I know God. I know. I can tell you who he is. I can identify him, call him by name, and let you know who he is. He is a great God. And he says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you today. In verse 24, it says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, as he is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he goes on to explain who God is. And then, of course, that verse again, for in him, capital H, we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And what I want to get over to you is that as when they arrived in Athens, they were more open. Even though they were idol worshipers, they were more willing to receive the word. They had gotten past Philippi, where they were beaten with many stripes and beaten with rods and stripped and publicly humiliated. They had gotten past
that. You see what I'm saying? They had moved into Thessalonica, where it wasn't as bad, but there was an uproar, but it was a little bit removed from them, but they left by night. And even Jason, who was taken, was allowed to post bond. I noticed that. Was allowed to post bond when he was thrown into jail. He wasn't thrown in the inner prison, like the maximum security, like Paul and Silas were in Acts chapter 16. So things were getting better, is what I want to tell you. And so in, as the scripture progresses here in Acts chapter 17, we see this, that they continue to preach the gospel. They continue to preach the same message about raising Jesus from the dead, as we see in verse 31 and 30, and then Paul departed, that says in verse 33. And as I end the scripture, it says, Acts 17, and so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius, the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with him. See, they departed. They preached the word. They got out what they had to get out. They talked to the people they had to talk to, and they moved with no severe persecution. And that's the same thing I'm telling you today. Move in him, as Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe that God has something for you. You have to move past the tough times. There's some tough stuff, especially right before fulfillment. There's a lot of evil, negative things that happen right before fulfillment. I'm a witness of it. And so believe God. Believe and stand and believe God. Amen. In the midst of it. Well, I have my cue. It's time for the end of the broadcast, and I thank you. I really do. I thank you for tuning into the broadcast. That is all I have to say today. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKSanders to listen to this show as an archive broadcast or any other show there on the show page. You may email me at seeing clearly in the dark at gmail.com. And you can feel free to send your prayer request. You may have a question. You may have a comment about what that which I said today. And God may have a word for you. And you never know. God is always speaking. And so feel free to make use of that email address to communicate your prayer request to me. Well, that is all I have to say this week. I pray for each and every one of you, the listening audience, and I really hope and pray that you have a blessed week. And I'm going to say that Jesus is Lord, and I'll talk to you next time. Hey.